Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 691. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
I know it may not seem like I have an intro this week, but I have the concept of an intro.
Yeah.
I knew Tony was going to go first, so that's why I was like, I'm not going to do...
You knew that was the one I was waiting for. You knew.
I mean, how can you not? Like, I heard that line, and I'm like, oh, like, that is, like, this is not often you just hear, like, the line of a debate, or, yeah, so I was like, yeah, that is definitely the line of it.
Earl's here.
I'm just gonna tell you that I had a nice dinner. There was no cats, there was no dogs involved, but I did enjoy a nice meal, so, you know, they are not eating cats and dogs here in New York.
What about geese?
Yeah, so I mean, maybe we'll have a new dog menu. Who knows? I mean, I'm sure somebody will come up with something catty soon.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. I'm sorry. I'm kind of like half watching the game, and yeah, that was bad. Anyway, yeah. So the debate happened. Tony, you did not watch it.
I did not. I've seen clips and stuff afterwards, but I'm like, I don't need that stress right now. I can just...
Yeah.
Like, listening to Donald talk just infuriates me every time.
It's insane. It doesn't even infuriate me. For the life of me, I listen to him speak, and I'm like, what do people hear that I'm missing? Because nothing he says makes any sense.
Yes.
I don't understand what... I don't understand the words. I don't understand words. And
I've seen a few articles on this. Like in the last 8 years, like he used to talk straight. He used to say like coherent things that like weren't like advanced, but like Joe Blow could understand.
Right.
And he's lost that ability in the last 8 years. Like he can't get out a coherent thought anymore.
I mean, I was not gonna watch the debate. I was gonna be like, you too. I don't need to watch this. My kids wanted to watch it, and so I ended up like I'm just gonna watch a little bit of it. Then I'll go downstairs. Because they announced there were supposed to be two commercial breaks. I think there were eventually. It just took like an hour to get to the first one, and it went off the rails almost immediately. she came out for a handshake. Well, they both came out, and she just went up to him, the handshake, and like from there, he was just like he had a scowl on his face immediately. It was wild. And then she baited him with, I think it's like 30 minutes in.
I'm sure his team did what they could, but he is who he is. But yeah. I'm like, I can't imagine like you got baited with something everybody knew she was going to go for, and like it was hook, line, and sinker. You say something about his crowd size, and that's end game. And I'm like,
yep.
Everybody knew she was going to say something. You would think, you know, my crowd, go see. It isn't easy to stand up for him. Go, yes, I also recommend you go check out my rallies, and you're done. You're good. But no, it broke him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he went, like, he was already a little, like, you know, I mean, he's always a little off. But yeah. At that moment, it was just, like, he went from off to absolutely insane. Because I think he followed up the whole crowd size thing. That was immediately when he started talking about
the dogs and cats. Speech. I mean, unlike much like Tony, I was at a Yankees game for most of it, because I just had PTSD after Biden's debate. I watched like the first 10 minutes of Biden, and I'm like, yeah, this is not a good debate. And I'm like, I didn't want to go through that again. So I'm like, let me just take my mind off of it. But I was following along at home, and I was following along at the game, and then I got home for like half an hour. But like again, I was like paying attention to it on Twitter and like friends, you know, like group messages, and people were sending me stuff, and I'm like, okay. It wasn't until I started watching like reactions where I realized like all of that, like they're eating dogs and cats, came in the same speech about his crowd size. And that's what it's like, a stream of consciousness. Like, I don't know. I don't even remember what the original question was. Was it about? No, it wasn't healthcare.
I'm not even sure, because I don't remember. Like, that was one thing that, like, you know, I mean, it's a complaint you could lobby against both of them, is that they didn't directly answer a lot of the questions. Like,
that's how politicians debate. Yeah. They never actually answered questions directly.
Yeah. And that's when people said that, I'm like, yeah, that's you kind of expect it. Like, I'm not going in expecting any of them to answer the questions. But what you do is you start and then you pivot to a specific talking point, not right. about people eating dogs and cats.
Which was how Harris handled it, right? She would like, you know, sidestep the question that was asked and then like deliver some policy details that
yes.
she has that are like tangentially related to what the question was talking about.
Right.
But she doesn't have to like actually answer, you know, the yes or no question that was asked to her.
Yeah. I mean, a good example of that, I think there was a question about the Afghani withdrawal.
Yes.
And that was, I mean, I think coming into the debate, that was seen as like one of her weak point. You know, a lot of people talk about that. Okay. So, and I forget what she did, but she said something which baited him into a completely different tangent. Because what would happen then in a traditional debate would be she would say that, and then the moderator, they would respond, and the moderator would be like, would you want to offer a rebuttal? But he changed the subject, and I think everybody lost track of the fact that that's what they were talking about.
Yep. So instead of the point getting hammered home about this withdrawal being awful, it's completely forgotten because Trump hasn't mentioned it.
Yes, exactly. Because there was like a stats that came out afterwards that like he spoke more and he spoke longer, and it's like, okay, that could be a positive if he was using it in a way that was beneficial to him, which he, surprising to nobody, was not.
Yeah. No, he called the leader of the Taliban Abdul in one of those like extra speaking times where he's like, I talked with Abdul, who is Abdul. He did the whole cats and dogs things in a you know rebuttal piece. He had a lot.
he was referencing, like, I can't even remember the name of the right wing extreme guy that he referenced.
Viktor Orban.
I had never heard of before.
Viktor Orban. I just know it because it's been repeated so much. It's like the one person you got to say, oh, because I think that's when she was saying that world, you just think you're a disgrace.
Yes. And so he like carts out the Hungarian prime minister that's a strong man and nobody like really respects. that's the guy.
Like oops.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I don't know. He likes those guys that are like, you know, they build up his ego, but she did exactly what they do to him. Like, he's so easily manipulated.
Yeah. Which is what actually saddened me. If we go back like 8 years to Hillary's debate, mm-hmm. where she never really went after him. Like, she tried to be above all of his crap. Harris was able to get under his skin in a way that Hillary never did.
Yes, and I think that it was a combination of those two things. Is like she, because I think, and this is the sad, sad state of American politics. I don't even think it's American politics, but is that Hillary? Like, so many people, I think it was very much like she was trying to bait him on merit. Like, I'm going to sit here and actually talk to you about what I want to talk to you about. Biden tried to attack in 2020. And, like, you got some great moments out of that. But then what happens is, like, oh, so-and-so comes off as so aggressive. And both sides are, like, fiery and angry. So you just end up with this, like, oh, both sides are bad. She found the middle ground where she got to talk policy. She got to bait him to make him seem crazy. So she came out looking at Grotius. He came out like an old man, just like blathering on about anything that came to his mind. Didn't get to hammer her on anything, really. And yeah, so she came out looking at Grotius. And now he kind of, like, this, again, the sad thing is it's going to be 50-50. But he doesn't have an extra stand on, like, debate. Almost everybody with intelligence said that she won.
Even Fox said that she won, which is hilarious.
Yes. So, like, the first thing she did is, like, yeah, we should do another one. He's like, oh, no, you know, for your prize fighting, you don't ask for a rematch. So it's like, he looks bad because, like, everybody's saying she won. She's out there saying, like, let's do it again. And he's like, no, I won. I don't have to do it again. Nobody else believes that except for him and his flock of people who clearly are into eating cats and dogs or think that's what people are doing. So,
yeah. That and killing babies after they're born. That was, yes.
Which the moderator called him out on. I thought it sounded like the debate was moderated very well. Like, it wouldn't just let him stand up there and make shit up.
Yeah, and I kind of like, and they were like, oh, they didn't do that to Harris, right. But like she like moderately lied once, like, and it was just like she kind of just got some dates mixed up. Like, that was what the fact checked on her was. Like, they didn't call her on that because they don't have that, right? Like, they don't have details, but you can easily go like, there are no laws that allow babies to be murdered after they're born. We've already contacted the city where the cat thing supposedly took place. They said it didn't. Like, those are easily verifiable.
Yeah, and I hate the fact, again, I mean, it's his people, but I hate the fact that, like, the fact that moderate, because, to your point, Ned, they kind of let them go. It was just the extreme. I think those are the two main times when they did it, where, like, the fact that if moderators correct people, that's not attacking. Like, don't sit here and have this guy high about stuff that's easily provable.
Right, because if you let him say it, and, like, she doesn't get to rebut it or anything.
Or, like, Tua, why? Or
I think really, Tua's dead.
Mean, yes,
it is. Tua just tried to throw his throwing shoulder into the defender for extra yardage, and is now doing the concussion thing with his fingers.
Yeah, cool.
Oh, no.
Which he's had problems with in the past.
But, yeah. Yeah, and I think, you know, again, with the I think they did help her because, like, she does not have to, because, I mean, what was it, two minutes, and a 1 minute rebuttal? She didn't have to waste her time rebutting, like, you know, like, going into, like, how, like, yes, the moderators were like, yes, this is not true, let's move on. And again, it's like, it's so bad. And of course, you know, somebody's gonna be like, yes, there is no, I don't think, I mean, the baby one is easy, that's provable.
Yeah. But
the dog and cat one is now going to be, I assume, a bunch of right wingers trying to find, because, like, they'll find one story. It's like, you see, it happens. My favorite part about that, though, and I want to see if I can get this correct. Somebody posted on Facebook that their neighbor's, it was like their neighbor's daughter's friend's.
Yes. Neighbor,
it was like 6 degrees of, like, this is the worst game of telephone ever. But somehow it permeated enough. And this is something, again, this is something I did not get about his presidency. And I don't get now, and I don't get why he does not get called out more often. He was the president of the United States for 4 years. I assume he still gets, I mean, he probably still has access to a lot of intelligence. How is it that nobody, like, he said he saw it on TV. You could call people in the Pentagon. You could call people in all departments. You have people working for you who can verify. You could call the state government. I saw it on TV, so it must be true.
Yep, exactly. Like, he seemed like the crazy old guy that you deal with. Like, well, I saw it on TV. Like, no, Grandpa. Like, that wasn't accurate.
That was an episode of the X-Files, wasn't
exactly. Oh,
I remember it used to be that the Onion would publish like actual physical newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
So one of my friends had one sitting on his kitchen table, and it had some like right-wing extreme headline on the top. And his dad came to visit and is like, "You see that? You see what's happening in this world?" And my friend is like, "That's the Onion." Because he was acting like it was real.
It's a satirical.
Yes.
It's like a satirical newspaper, Dad. Like, calm down.
But that's kind of like they see that stuff and they can't like. And I think this is actually a big educational issue, is that people don't know how to. Lots of people don't know how to obtain facts for themselves or fact check on their own. But they quote unquote do their own research and come up with all this stupid stuff.
I honestly that is one of my least favorite. I mean, I think part of it was the pandemic, but everybody doing their own research. And I'm like, oh, you're a scientist now. Tell me about this process. What did you do? Because the thing is, and I mean, I guess we'll get to Taylor Swift as soon. Like, but she also said that. And when people say, because here's the thing about doing your own research. Here's the thing about Google. You're already biased if you're Googling something, because you have to start with a phrase. So you started with your viewpoint and trying to work backwards. So like, if you Google, is the vaccine dangerous? What is going to spit out tends to be articles that are disputing if it is or is not dangerous, instead of being like, what's in it? Or like trying to, like, again, the scientific method, finding the question and then figuring out the solution. This is like, you have a solution, you're trying to figure out the what makes it true.
Yes. So yeah, the debate went it went well for one side, really bad for the other, which is, you know, how we would like it to have gone. So I don't think any of us are upset with the outcome there. And Earl, you mentioned it. I think it was like very briefly after the debate, Taylor Swift dropped an Instagram post endorsing Harris. So everybody who I guess was wondering if she was going to do that, she has done it. And last night she was on the VMA stage telling people to register to vote. So,
and I will give her that. I will give her that much. And again, I have no problem with her. I mean, I'm not like some people. I mean, there are people who love her and there's people who hate her. I'm kind of mostly indifferent to her. I mean, but yes, I think one of the most important things is getting people to register to vote. And I mean, I think, what was it, within like hours of her posting that, they said something like close to 400,000 people went to like the vote.gov site or something like that. So again, you know, as much as I don't want to, I'm going to say don't vote for Trump, but you know, like, yeah, be engaged, vote. I would also tell people to, we're a video game podcast. We're not going to talk about politics all the time, but like, also vote in off years, not just midterms, you know?
Like, oh yeah, right? Definitely. Those are the ones that, like, I mean, this is important, right? Like, we don't want Trump in charge, but like your local elections and your
school, you know, board, like, yes, those people who stuff. Are banning books from your school, like,
yep.
You get to vote for them. And a lot of times those people are elected by
like 50 people. Votes.
Like, it's a very small number of people.
Yeah. And those are because I always hate, like, my, yes, you know, like, we're in New York, you're in DC. Well, I guess technically Chris does, his vote does matter.
Yes. Chris, you better vote. Don't vote more than once, because we don't want you to get arrested, but you know, nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
But yes. You know, as a New Yorker, you often hear your vote don't matter. And like in the presidential thing, the grand scheme is, it probably doesn't. Like, but it, you know, we still vote for Congress members, we still vote for the Senate. But more importantly, like, I mean, I'm sure some of it has permeated through mainstream. Like, what our mayor police commissioner is resigning because apparently they're running like a secret protection racket. And it's like, yeah, people voted for that mayor. So, you know, he got a, even though he was an idiot before he was elected, and I still don't understand why he has support. But, yeah, vote on those things. You know, there's some positions that, like, listen, I don't know what they do either, but, like, you know, like comptroller, it's some of your justices, not the Supreme Court, but some of the court justices, vote on them, because we see what happens sometimes when people don't, they overturn a lot. So, yeah, vote constantly. I understand.
Even lower levels, like, you got, like, here we have, like, ANC commissioners who, like, decide if, like, that nightclub that had 7 shootings last year gets to keep their license. Like, those positions matter.
Yeah. So yes, go vote. And I feel I speak for everyone here, but we would like you to vote for Harris. If
yes, please vote for Harris. If you're not voting for Harris, then perhaps this time you could pass on voting. That would be okay.
Yes, I mean, that would be fine. Like,
also, and I'm going to contradict myself. As I don't vote for Joe Stein. Please don't vote for Joe Stein. I get it. The civic duty. I understand the notion of wanting third parties, and I think this country does need a strong third party. It's never going to be the president,
right? It has to be what we just talked about. Those local elections. You want a third party to permeate. They need to take over in local elections, move up to state elections, and then you could do national.
I mean, that's where Bernie came from.
Yeah.
Saying to the Bernie bros, like, he was a third party guy in Vermont for the longest time.
I mean, technically he still is. He's an independent.
But like Jill Stein is going to, she's going to garner like 1% of the vote. You're just wasting your vote. Like, she's.
And specifically Jill Stein, because she's nothing but a grifter. You don't see her. Any more than every 4 years.
Yep.
And I don't know what she does in those 4 years, because I had this conversation with friends today. The Green Party has no elected officials on any level in this country right now. Not in Senate, not in Congress, not governorship, not stateship. There's literally zero people in any noticeable. Zero seats in Senate, zero seats in House, zero governorships, zero in state upper chambers, zero in state lower chambers, zero in territorial governorship. Nobody. And she's been running for president for, I think, what, 12 years? I know she ran in 2020 and 2016. I think she ran in 2012. But yeah, she doesn't do anything. Okay, even workshop this out with me. Heaven forbid, she somehow, somehow she miraculously wins. She has no alliance. She has no party.
Yeah.
It sucks when a Democrat's in office and they have, like, a House GOP and vice versa. Imagine when you have me in the chamber.
Right? What do you do?
You have grifted your way to the top. That's... You won't get anything done. Like, nothing that you're promising will get done, because nobody will work with you. And Earl, you're correct. She ran for president in 2012 as well.
Yeah, fantastic.
All right. Well, it's our election minute.
Election. 25 minutes.
But well, it's like the debate. It's 90 minutes. It's just like over. I think it was like an hour 45 or something like that.
Yeah. Like when they took the second commercial break, they were already past at 90 minutes, I think.
Yeah.
As Earl said, though, we generally talk about video games here. And
eventually.
Yeah.
Well, I will say this much to transition.
Yeah.
The debate was good news for Sony, because Sony was getting torn to shred earlier that day on Tuesday. Calling a spade, what is essentially just a money grab or gift in your high-end consumers, because I mean, that's it's a terrible way to start this conversation, but I don't know what the PlayStation 5 Pro exists for. I honestly don't.
I'm not sure. I felt Earl, we watched it together, like through chat, and I feel very similar to you. You were like, maybe I'm just old and I don't see the difference, but yeah, that's kind of how I felt as well. Like they're showing these side by sides and it's like, okay, there's an extra blade of grass there.
It's one of those things where I'm trying to find the nicest way to say this. It's those things where people look at it in video games and like blown away, and I'm like, do you ever actually pay attention to that stuff in real life? Like, is anybody ever out there being like, this grass texture is not great?
The Digital Foundry guys, that's it, and that's their job.
Yes.
I will say, and again, I'm just going to pick on people in this segment, I guess. It was so funny because there was a lot of people being like, I can't wait until the Digital Foundry guys get on in on this. I want them to really break it down for me. I'm like, what are they breaking down for you? You have two eyes. Like, right. It's one of those things where, and again, I had people respond to me being like, it's really hard to see on like a computer monitor. You know, I mean, that's not on me. This is the avenue they're presenting it to.
Yeah.
And you're trying. The only thing it shows me is like, a PlayStation 5 games already look really damn good. Maybe they can look better. I don't know if they do. Based off of what I saw, I don't. I just, again, maybe they just picked the wrong things, or maybe it's a combination. But I was like, looking at the side by sides, and I'm like, I don't know which one I'm supposed to be looking at that's different.
It was very much like those, what are those games in bar where like you, like, here's two images, find the differences. Like when they were showing Ratchet and Clank, it's like, okay, so, all right, I see there's like an extra blade of like a little extra patch of grass there. And over here, like, it's a little more detail. But like, are you noticing that when you're playing?
Yes. And that's that, it's stuff like that because what people will do is they'll take a screenshot or they'll take a GIF and it's like, yeah, so of course you're going to see something. They do this with movies too, as you're going to see it if you repeat it constantly. But when you're in the moment, I literally do not pause a video game to be like, oh man, look at that grass. Like, that wind is just like blowing it perfectly and it's casting. I don't pay attention to shadows in video games. Give me those blocky shadows. As long as I can like, the only time I care about shadows where you are on platformers where it kind of, in 3D platformers, where it can help kind of
try to find where to land.
Yes.
Or like if you're in a stealth game and you're like hiding in the shadows.
Yes.
That's the.
But other than that, like, oh man, look at how this sun reflects the shadow. I'm like, I don't care. Like, I have fun with my shadow when I'm outside. If it's like, you know, like you sometimes try to, yes, like, yes, like a kid. But like in a video game, I'm like, I don't care. Oh man, this car has ray tracing. I'm not going to be driving me. Oh man, the light reflects off the back of the car. Oh my gosh, that's amazing. Like, that's like, it seems like that's really fun for like 2 minutes. Not even. And then you move on.
Yeah, I mean, I think. I've definitely done. I think, Tony, you've done it too. Like a game like Ghost of Tsushima. Like,
yeah,
there are spots where, like, you know, you come up on a cliffside and like you look over and the water's crashing underneath and like just like very artistic looking and like something that's like pretty and.
But that sounds like a moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yes. Versus like people being like, "Oh man, like look at this individual creative." I don't know why I keep on bringing up grass. A lot of people bring up grass and water.
Grass and water, those are the two, and shadows. Those are the three. We've covered all three.
Yes, when people bring that stuff
maybe,
up,
maybe lighting. We didn't, but I guess shadows.
I mean, again, because a big buzzword, and honestly, I will say, I think I stopped buzzwords at the polygons, and that was like 20 years ago. Ray tracing. Everybody's always talking about ray tracing. I'm like, I still don't really know what it is. I mean, it's like what how you like reflect off of certain objects and stuff like that, and I'm just like. I don't understand what it adds to the game for you.
It's the also the standard PS5 is supposed to be capable of that. So why do I need to get this other thing?
Well, here's the other thing that drives me nuts is because like so much of this generation, leading into this generation, I should say, was so much of like, oh, developers are finally going to be able to do 60 frames per second and 4K for everything. And I'm like, they were capable of doing that last gen as well. It's never going to, one or the other is going to be the priority, not both.
Yeah.
And it seems
that's kind of like the thing, like, I don't think like we've seen a whole lot of games on PS5 without this upgrade that have really like captured everything the system can do. And now you're telling me this thing can do more. Like the PS5, the standard PS5 is supposed to be capable of 8K gaming. Where are my 8K games? Like, okay, you want to like expand the graphic possibilities of the system, but you haven't come close to what the current system can do.
No.
What are we doing? Why are we spending money for this? My other thing
we are spending money. I mean, I'm not, so.
Oh, I'm not buying this thing here. My other thing is, if you're going to charge $700 for a system.
It should come with the disk drive?
But also, you are so close to get it to being able to buy like an actual gaming PC.
Yeah.
That can do all of this stuff where the games are infinitely cheaper,
mm-hmm.
where you're not kind of locked into this one ecosystem. Like, I don't... The price point kind of moves it past like what's good about console gaming and moves it closer to what's good about PC gaming. At which point you might as well just go all the way.
Yeah, if you're going to spend $700, or I think, Earl, I think you worked out with tax, like with the disk drive, $850.
Yeah.
You might as well just spend the other $400, $500 and get yourself a decent gaming. Like, I mean, maybe it's not the best gaming PC, but it's going to be pretty damn good. Like a $1,300 system.
Okay, and just right, because I had this thought in my head and I want to get it out.
Yeah.
It also drove me nuts. I do not understand the purpose of the PS5, but PS5 Pro, I should say. There's an audience for it. I do not understand keeping a disk drive separately, but whatever, people are going to buy it, whatever. But I, for the life of me, do not understand how you announce this system, this graphical upgrade, and you do not have a friggin' showcase game coming out with the system. There is no Sony game in the rest of the fall to showcase your brand new system. How are you? Oh, you can play. Yes, I can play my old games that people already played and enjoyed. Like, what are you doing to showcase?
Astrobot's going to look great on that system, or else it's going to look so good.
I went through all this, and I'm like, what game, like, I don't, like, the next game they have is Echo Horizon, which I don't necessarily think is...
That's not a graphical showcase. That game's not a
graphical powerhouse?
It's on the Switch, so I can't imagine it's super intense. And then I don't think they have anything else for the rest of the year. So you're onto the system for $700 in November, who you just sound the suckers, because the selling point of it right now is like, you can play the games that you played and beat prettier now. And I'm nothing wrong with replaying games, but I'm not invested in a new system just to replay a game.
Yeah, I'm not sure who this is for, outside of like the most diehard of Sony fans. Like, I think Tony, you said, like, it's not for... Clearly not for like newcomers. Like, newcomers aren't going to spend $700 on a system.
No.
I don't know.
My favorite thing I saw is like, oh, but if this is the best, if this is the true way to pay GTA 6 and 60 frames per second, I'm like, do you think the people paying GTA care about 60 frames per second? Like, I'm sure they want to. But it's not like they're going to be, oh man, PlayStation 5 Pro, man, plays GTA 5, 6 and 6. They just want GTA. GTA, if it could run on your fridge, they would buy it there.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason that game is still selling. Like, it started out as a 360 and a PS3 game.
Yeah.
So, like, GTA 5 is an old game. Yeah, they upgraded it for the Xbox One, and maybe they even did it for the PS5 and Series
systems.
But
or yeah,
but like, yeah, people just want to play GTA. I don't think it matters. It's not going to be like one of those things where, oh, I need it in 60 frames per second. Sure, there's always going to be people like that. Like, I think there's always going to be people that are like, you know, I can't play stuff that's under 60 frames now. It, like, hurts my eyes. Like, I don't get it. Doesn't bother me, but...
Yeah, I mean, I think we're mostly in the same boat with that in that regard. And I will say, I feel like a fair majority of people are. I think there is a contingency of game developers who, you know, they want to do the best, but I do think sometimes they cater to that group a bit too much. Because, again, I always point out to people, the best-selling games, the most popular games of all time, Fortnite is not, like, it's 60 frames per second, but it's not necessarily a graphic. It's not a hooker. Like, I'm not going to be, like, the update, Unreal Engine 5 upgrade was nice, but it's still, like, a pretty basic game. Minecraft, it's very stylized, but I would not call it a very intense game. I mean, part of the reason of its appeal is it can fade on anything. You know, I always go back to Wii Sport. The best-selling console of this current era is the Switch, which is by far the weakest of the three major consoles. And even if you want to go backwards, it was still the weaker of the previous generation of consoles. The Wii was the weakest console of its generation. You get Animal Crossing, not a very graphically intense game, one of the best-selling games of this generation. GTA, like you said, GTA 5 has sold through three different generations. And I think for the 360 and PS3, it was one of the benchmark titles, but it's kind of just been shining up the same coat of arms for three generations now. People don't care. They still enjoy the base game. So it's this weird notion that you need 60 frames, 4K. It's a very hyper-specific group. People care about the game. They care about, I still don't really know what Roblox is. I've seen it. That is not a very intense game, or games, or network, or system, whatever the hell they want to call it.
Yeah, this is very much for a very specific group of people that they're just grabbing more money from, that already have PS5s. I was surprised that somebody floated a number that the PS4 adoption rate was like 14%.
Yeah.
Of them, like, so I can't imagine, and that came in roughly at the price of the PS4, and they lowered the PS4 price when that came out. Coming in higher.
As I was gonna say, I think part of it too is that near the end, I think they started to bundle it a lot more. I could be wrong. This isn't $100 more. This is $200 more.
Yes.
That is a huge jump.
$200 more, and as we mentioned, like, it does not come with a disk drive. So if you have physical PS5 discs, you need to spend, I think it's what, $70 more? $80 more, something like that.
80.
Assuming you can find one after they've all been purchased.
Well, right. Again, I think a lot of people are buying them to scalp it, which is, again, I'm hoping personally, like, this is like a Wii U situation where there's a bunch of scalpers who take up this stuff, and then you realize, like, there's not a market for it.
Yeah.
Which
there very well could not be.
And to be fair, $700 is for us. Everybody else is getting way worse. And $700 is awful to begin with. I think Canada is the equivalent of like $850. I think Japan is like the equivalent of like $925 or something like that. And it's insane. Like, there's certain things that look weird. And I think in Canada, it's close to $1,000. And I think in Japan, it's over 100, and 10 euros. And I'm like, yeah, this starts to be numbers where it's like, this is ridiculous. And I'm very curious to see how this all does.
Yeah, I mean, I think that first shipment probably will sell out. Sony probably doesn't make a lot of them either. And so you'll probably have people scalping them for $1,500, $2,000 like they were with the original one. But then I think it's going to drop off real quick. Because I don't think people are going to pay that for it. Like $2,000, if you're spending $2,000 on the PS5 Pro, you might as well have just got yourself like an Alienware laptop.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm also very curious to see because it's coming out in November. And I'm assuming most of them usually do a bundle around the holidays. Like, if you, like, they kind of put themselves in a weird position. If you bundle the core PS5 with like Spider-Man or I don't know, Spider-Man 2 I think is a good one right now or something like that for like $450, and then you have this other thing for $7. Like it's such a like it's not like the PS5 and the PS5 Digital are what $50 a piece.
I think so, something around there.
That like, you can finesse. Okay, I'm just gonna spend the $50 and you know get a disc drive to future proof myself or something like that. $200. That's like three games I could get with the system that already works and plays these same games.
Yep.
If it's a PC, you get even more.
Yeah, just a matter like you get a PC and you hit that winter Steam sale, the holiday sale, you can load yourself up for quite some time.
It was like games are cheaper on the PC generally to begin with. Like I got the new Warhammer 40K Space Marine 2 game for $51. It's $70 on console. It's just cheaper to buy the games there.
Yeah, like that new Funko game comes out tomorrow. And on Steam, I think it's, you know, and this is before you go to like a site like Green Man or where you can get a discount on it. It's selling for $50 there, but on Xbox and PlayStation, it's $60. So it's $10 more. Like there's a $10 console tax.
And then you just wait for the Steam sale.
Yeah.
I mean, so much cheaper.
Well, I guess we'll find out. So is it November that it comes out?
Yeah, November 6th or something. Yeah.
I'm sure it will sell out. There's plenty of people who have bought into the brand.
Again, I think the launch will sell out. It's more what happens month two, month three.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You'll be able, like, if you look at, like, February, you'll be able to just pick one up at the Target or whatever.
Do you have a question for you guys on this? Do you think that this pricing is an early indicator of where the next generation of machines is going to be pricing at?
I think this is a test run. I was wrong before. I mean, I think $500 is like the upper limits of what people are willing to pay. Honestly, I think as much as we love them, video games are not a necessity. And I do think you get to a point where, like, even if you're a kid, that saving up that is kind of ludicrous.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's the same conversation because, you know, like, this came out. So people started talking about, like, you know, like Nintendo's successor. And I honestly think their sweet spot's like $300, $350. Because again, I think that's something where parents are more comfortable with. And again, it's not just, you know, but like, yeah, I mean, it's a very different beast right now. But like three of us, we're adults. We all have full-time jobs. You know, I don't think any of us are poor. And we're all like, oh, we don't want to, like, yes, for what it is. But I'm also like, I don't want to spend $700 on a system. Hell, I don't want to spend $500 on a system, which is part of the reason I don't have a PS5 yet. And I do think you get to a point where you can only squeeze so much blood from a stone. like, again, there will be people who buy it because people, but I do think at some point you start to constrict the industry where it's just going to make the people who are diehard into this. And I mean, to be fair, the industry hasn't really grown in the last three generations. If you exclude mobile and, like, I know you can't, but like, if you exclude mobile, like, console, the console space has roughly been, I would say, about, and it's a decent number, but if you assume like everybody who's bought a system has been unique, it has really topped out around like 250 million people worldwide. And even that might be high.
Yeah, because there's probably a lot of people, like, you know, systems. Yeah. Tony and I own multiple systems. Jeff owns multiple systems. Like, you know, we play on a bunch of stuff, so it's not just a one-to-one. Yeah, I wonder. And, like, are there also diminishing returns on, like, these generations? Like, I don't feel that the games have
justified this generation.
I mean, like, they look better. They, like, you know, the hard drives themselves make them play better.
I think there's a point where it looks better or you go so far.
Yeah.
For the normal consumer.
They don't look that much better either,
yeah,
right?
For me personally, like, the best part about this current console generation is the fact that the game just loads so much faster.
Yeah,
real thing that I've been like, oh, that's awesome. I love that. There's nothing, literally not another thing I can think of.
The only other thing I would think of and it's kind of 50-50 depending on the game, is fast resume. And it's kind of sad that we kind of come full circle, because, like, you know, Nintendo Genesis, like, you put those games in, they played right away.
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh yeah, my game. You know, the trade-off to that is, like, I get a new game. It's like, it's going to be half an hour before I can actually play this damn thing.
Yeah.
So yes, I saw somebody talk about, like, fast resume is probably the biggest advantage of this generation, and that's not saying a ton.
Yeah, that's not a lot. That's not to say, like, I'm not paying $700 more to get what, even faster resume? Like, I don't.
Well, right, and like Tony, you mentioned the speed, the load times.
Yeah.
Like, yes, they are significantly better. And, like, you know, going from 45 seconds to, like, you know, 5 or 10 seconds is a huge jump. Yeah. But is it, like, really that? Does it really matter?
I mean, it makes games like when I've been playing back through The Witcher 3, and, like, getting through the loading screens and that, or, like, loading up the game initially took forever before. And it's really nice to get through it really fast now. Like, that's a great quality of life thing. And it means, like, I mean, what it really means is if I sit down to play a game for 2 hours,
you can play
I'm getting, like, you know, 20 more minutes of gameplay out of that time, player, which is great. That is awesome. That is a wonderful thing. Does it look better than it did before? Probably. I haven't seen it side by side. I don't know. I can't really tell.
It looks how you remember it, right? Looks like The Witcher. All right, well, let me go. We'll see. I do hope that the lessons out of the PS5 Pro are that we don't want to pay $700 for a new system. Not for, like, incremental improvement. I don't want to pay, you know, as Earl said, he doesn't want to pay $700, he doesn't want to pay $500. I don't think any of us want to pay $700 for incremental computer.
It better do something really cool. And but this one doesn't even take discs. I'm putting my disc in and nothing's happening because there's nowhere to put it.
My disc is in the toaster now. There were some fancy buzzwords that they mentioned, but I don't know what they mean. So
they mean buy my system. You don't know why, but
yeah,
buy it.
$700 is a lot of games. Like, that's 10 games on the system, which I'm not sure there are 10 games on the PS5 that I need right now. So,
I think you paid, but Jeff isn't here. Cause I've heard nothing but great things about Astrobot. So I've been kind of in the market, looking around for a PlayStation 5 or figuring out some options. And my friend's like, oh, what are you going to get? I'm like, yeah, I'll get, you know, Astro Bot, I'll get Spider-Man. And
Ratchet's really good.
But Horizon's pretty good.
But Horizon's on PS4, right?
Yes.
Horizon and God, and I mean, I could get them for that, but I'm like, I do still have a PS4. Like God of War Ragnarok. I'm like, oh, but I'm like, there are, and then like almost a lot of multi-platform games I do have. Like, I mean, they have the Final Fantasies, but I feel like those aren't as big of a deal. I mean, not as they used to be anyhow. But I was, yeah, I sat there and I'm like, wait, what would I actually get for this thing? And it's nothing against necessarily Sony. It's just like, I'm currently in this generation because I have an Xbox. And Game Pass does a lot of the heavy lifting for me in regards to keeping up with new releases. And I'm like, it's not a Sony thing. Like, what is actually out there that I'm like, oh, I've been dying to play this. And I was like, Astro Bot and Spider-Man. I'm like, my rule of thumb tends to be I need at least 5 games on a system before I pick it up. And I just could not think of, like, I could force myself. I would get EDF6. But I can't think of anything else.
That's fair. I mean, I'm sure there are, like, Wolverine will come out at some point, and you'll hit 5 at some point, right?
Yeah,
maybe
in time for the PS6.
Yeah, maybe when the PS6 comes out, then you can pick up the PS5 on like a deep discount.
Yeah, I mean they are going to start offering the refurb PS5 for $400. I'm really tempted by that. The other thing I'm kind of tempted by is like finding a sucker who wants to get the PS5 Pro but already has a PS5, because I can do more than like the GameStop $250, but S and Sony's $400 refurb. If you can give me like $300, $350, I'm kind of in that ballpark with you.
But if anybody is looking to jump to the PS5 Pro,
ignore all the stuff we just said and talk to Earl. That's what.
Yes. Have hook Earl up with the PS5 so he can play Astro Bot, which is really good. we'll save a lot of it for when Jeff returns. I have finished the first world of, like, well, yes, like, so the way Astro Bot is set up is there are like these galaxies that you go into, and in the galaxy there are different worlds you can go to. And so I finished the first one completely. I've gotten all the, you find little bots and in each of the levels, and that's kind of like, in some games, like, you need keys or something, like you need like 12 keys and you can go to the next level. Like, that's what you need here. You need a certain amount of bots to open up the boss area, and then a certain amount of bots will open up, like, allow you to open up the next area of the next galaxy or whatever. So there's bots that you can collect. There are puzzle pieces, and the puzzle pieces then like build stuff on the planet that you've crash landed on. And then there are these like warp, it's like warp zones basically that take you to a what's called the Lost Galaxy, and that has a bunch of like harder planets on it. So I've done the first world, the first galaxy completely. 100%ed it, gotten all the bots, all the puzzle pieces, all the Lost Galaxy planets. And it's really, really good. Each of the levels is kind of designed, or, you know, the first one is just like, basically you're just going to run through, you're jumping. It's like a platformer, like a 3D platformer. So you're running through, you're jumping through the level. But then as you progress through the different levels, like, you'll get like power-ups that are only for that level. So in one, you get this like little rocket pack, and it can go through glass. So there's like a little boss thing at the end that you kind of utilize that for. The level I just used, you get a monkey backpack, and the monkey has like these long arms, and it allows you to swing on things, or like you can ground pound with it. And so the puzzles and the platforming are designed around those like special power-ups that you get that are just for that level. It's like super, it's like super video game history focused, where like you're going around, and some of the bots are, you'll find like a Ratchet and Clank bot or a Crash Bandicoot bot. I think I just found
Monster Hunter had some bots.
Yeah, like there's
just don't find a Days Gone one because
I haven't yet, but it might be there. There are, I think there's 300 bots in the entire game, so there's a lot to find. And then there's like this hub world too, and on that hub world, you use the bots kind of like Pikmin. It's like, oh, you need 25 here, and if you whistle for them, they all come over, and like, you know, it could be that you need the 25 to create a bridge. Like they'll all just climb on top of each other and then fall over, and gripping. So it's like they're just a actual bot bridge, and you just cross it that way. Or sometimes they like do it so like they create a ladder, or you need, you know, 10 of them to help you pick up this rock because there's like something underneath that. So there's like a bunch of different like cool items in there, and it's just super cheery, super colorful. It's like really fun. The boss fights are neat. If you find certain things in the world, you'll unlock like these little one-off planets that are just like little challenge areas that have like one bot to rescue in there, but the challenge is like, you know, could rely on who that bot is. So I think the one bot was like, it was in this retro world, so it was like an older like video game type bot thing. It's really neat. It plays really great. It's super fun. I am just playing like a level or two a day, and going through and like 100%ing each of the level. I don't want to burn through it like super quick, because I'm just having a lot of fun with it. And Jeff said that he also thinks it is great. So, we'll see.
I've heard nothing but good things about it. The funny thing is, and I could be wrong, I assume these are all galaxies you were talking about, is like everything I've seen posted on Twitter very much seems like somebody was a huge fan of Super Mario Sunshine. Those special stages that you didn't have, like you didn't have fielding, you just kind of had these random ass fielding things in space.
Because mm-hmm.
Like a lot of the stuff people post are just like that, or like a lot of it is like you're jumping like PlayStation symbols and stuff like that. And it's really fun. It's really cool. Super cute. Super adorbs. The one thing I will say, and again, I don't want to be a negative Nancy, is people, save your video games. Like this came out on Thursday.
Yeah.
And by Saturday, people are like, oh, I'm finishing that Platinum the game already. I'm like, it's been like a day and a half. Like I know it's not a long game.
Yeah, like that's
the middle of the week. Like,
yeah,
maybe go to work and I don't know.
Yes.
yeah. There were several people I knew who were like, yeah, I platinumed it all. I got it 100%. I'm like, that's great, but it's also like it's been 2 days. Like, see your kids, touch grass,
go to sleep at night.
Something.
Yeah, I that is something that I've kind of taken on the last few months. Like I you know, in previous slides, I would like get a game and, you know, play it as quick as possible, and now it's like it's kind of like if I'm enjoying it, I just kind of want to like keep it around for a while. So like I don't need to play it for 8 hours straight. A couple levels here and there, half hour, maybe an hour of Astrobot is good for me, and I'll have more of it tomorrow. Like, I don't need to play it all right away.
Yeah, and again, this it's very ironic based on what I was saying earlier, but it's also one of the things that, this is why you end up in a situation where so many people are like, okay, this is not what's next, because it's like, you get a game that you've been looking forward to for years and years, you finish it in a weekend, and you just like, I'm ready for the next thing. It's like, no, you don't. Video games are, you know, like, you can take your time. It's not a race. It's not Netflix. You're not gonna get spoiled because like somebody watched it all at 3 a.m. and post them. Yeah, enjoy it. Take your time. Relax. Do stuff in between it.
yeah, go, like as you said, go outside, visit with your family, maybe watch a movie, like TV show, just something else, read a book.
Hey, listen, go on a show, talk to your friends about it. Enjoy, like, it's, I feel like, I mean, this is, again, we're doing a podcast, but I also feel like that's what else, all, I think social media took over. I don't talk about video games with people as much in person anymore. They used to be like, we would talk all the time in college and high school. Again, it was different then. But like, yeah, like, talk to people. Have them share their stories. Maybe play with a friend. So you are forced to play like once a month because that's the only time you can get people together.
The Earl method.
Well, so that's Astrobot. We'll talk more about that when Jeff returns. He is further in it than me, but I don't think much further. I think he's just like the, he's finished the galaxy ahead of me. And from what I can gather, there's like five main galaxies and then the Lost Galaxy. So he's a little bit ahead of me, but not, he's not like blowing through it. So we'll talk more about that in the coming weeks. Tony, you bought Space Marine 2, but have not yet played it.
Right.
We'll talk about that at a later date as well. Earl, did you play anything this week?
Yes. The theme of this week was cozy. So I was good, like I said before we started recording, I was going to give Jeff some props because he had talked up Dungeons of Hindenburg.
Yep. Yep.
Before, so like it was on Game Pass, and he kept on saying stuff. I'm like, I downloaded it a few weeks ago. I was like, let me just try to start this today. And honestly, I find it very quaint and very cozy right now. It is very much a it's so fascinating because it's an RPG or you know of sorts. But it's trying to get like a modern aesthetic, and I kind of like that it's going for something that is modern while still being very classic. It is, I mean, again, I've already done the first three dungeons. I think there's 25. I mean, the game says there's 25. There's probably more hidden ones.
There might be one hidden one.
Oh, so there's 25 total. Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like the style. You know, early on, but the combat's very, it's very kind of Musou, very XXY, you know, here's a special move. Again, it could evolve more than that. I do like that they do, instead of doing like the Zelda thing of like you get an item for an area, and that's kind of what those dungeons and areas, like the puzzles in that area are designed around. So I'm in the first area. Like I have the essentially a spike bomb and then like a grapple hook, but a grapple hook with it's a ball and chain, so it's also an offensive weapon. And I like that, you know, you can use it to grab stuff, you can, you know, drop bombs and blow up enemies and rock formations. The ascension I did was really funny because I thought it was, I, you know, like you go into these things just expecting combat. And no, it was purely just, that was all a puzzle one. I didn't fight anybody in it, didn't fight anything in it. And that was really nice to see. I think Jeff also mentioned this. Like, yes, they're not really, I mean, maybe they get harder as you go further into the game. They're not necessarily Zelda dungeons. They're not like super complicated puzzles. I think the one I did was really like, that, the one I did was one big room that had like three levels that you have to navigate. But it was maybe 10, 15 minutes.
Will come if you continue playing, you're gonna come across more, they're kind of more Zelda-ish in nature, like they're longer dungeons with some puzzles to them. And,
okay.
They get a little more complex. Some of them like still, you know, short, but
yeah, and again, I think Jeff described them as kind of like really advanced shrines from Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom. And where it's like, we're going to introduce this concept. Like the one I just did was basically designed around it. You had a block you can push and pull. And like you basically just have to put it in the gaps to like cross over to different sections to get access to like a real car or higher ground or something. And then just like navigate that. So you can ultimately open up a path to the exit. I like that it's like, I like the setup of it to being I didn't need the game to call me out, but I like the setup of it being like, this is something that people just do for fun or to kind of de-stress, because it's in the real world, but it's like this magical town. So it's like, she's here because she's like burnt out of being an attorney, and she just wants something different to do for a couple of days. And it's like, you know, like a vacation, you kind of go and you meet people who, you know, you might talk to once or twice and never again. Like, you build relationships with these people. And like, as you do that, they unlock, like, you know, I built a relationship. Well, the first person you build a relationship with, she gives you the ability, she gives you a dossier on all the other residents and like what they do when you build relationships with them. And then the next person, I think, gave me like an extra magic shot or extra item shot. And then I just met Hannah, who gives you, you know, like the special moves you can equip and stuff like that. And I do, like, you know, and that one dude, like, you go and you can have dinner with them, or you can grab, I think, coffee or scones or whatever. And it's set up, like, you know, morning you speak to somebody, then you go on an adventure in the afternoon, and then night, even, I should say, is for, like, hanging out with one person in nighttime. So I do like the even feel of it. Again, it's very chill, very relaxing, very cozy. Like I said, cozy was the name of the game this week. So I was looking for a new co-op experience with one of my friends, and there was a game on Game Pass called Fioc. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea what it was, but it's very charming. It's a game where you basically are a bird rider. I mean, not basically, you are a bird rider, and you go around just cataloging different wild creatures. You go up to them, you observe them, the game will ask you, like, oh, what does this creature look like? And you pick from, you know, like, the different classes of species. And then, yeah, you add it to your encyclopedia. And then you can run around and find a whistle, which means they can join your flock. And then right now my flock can be 14 creatures and three sheep. So the sheep you use for, like, shaving off special things. I honestly have no idea what the flock does. Like, right now, I just have a bunch of animals following behind me. As far as I can tell, there's no gameplay mechanic tied to it other than it's really cool. I'm sure at some point something might happen. But right now, of no note. But it's super chill, super relaxing. It's a very, very just kind of mellow out and, you know, like, just go with the feel. It has that thing from Breath of the Wild, which I said to my friend, and it's probably a stupid example, but like, with the birds, you don't control evolution. You don't control elevation. So, like, the bird will go up and down on its own to kind of, and like, it won't, like, it will navigate around structures. So it's kind of like, an animal is an animal. It's not going to crash into a thing on its own. So, like, you basically just control moving it back and forth and, like, zipping along. And it's, again, it's just so charming. It's so cute. Again, I play for, like, 2 hours. I don't really know the purpose of the game. Sometimes you don't need a purpose. It's just really nice to go collect the animals.
All right. And that's on Game Pass, you said?
Yeah.
Nice. Tony, did you end up playing anything this week?
I played more Age of Mythology Retold.
Mm-hmm.
I made it through the first, so there's the is it Rise of the Trident or Fall of the Trident? I can't remember. It's one of the two. The main campaign of the game, it's got three portions. A Greek portion, an Egyptian portion, and a Norse portion. I made it all the way through the Greek part. The one thing I will say is the game reports to have 50 missions.
Okay.
In the course of 4 hours, I played through 12. Wow. They were really fast. and it probably would have gone faster had I not done the thing that, and I'm sure if you've played RTS games, you've done this yourself, where you, like, build up your forces and then attack your objective with overwhelming force.
Yes.
Because there were a couple times I did that, and then I was like, I'm pretty sure I could have just, like, hell-mell rushed it and won. So I started doing that in the next couple and to zoom right through them. So I'm assuming the rest of the campaign will go very fast.
It's like you can just Zerg rush your way to the end.
Yeah, which is kind of unfortunate, kind of sad. Like,
yeah.
Age of Empires, Age of Mythology also always had those missions where you would not have to worry about the base building. Like it would like a story based thing where you take this small force and like meet people and maybe run into guys who joined you along the way. And there's a bunch of those missions too, which I find kind of fun. And they kind of work the stuff into it, like with the god powers and that kind of thing, which I'm really enjoying. The god powers are fun. So if you're not well versed in Age of Mythology, so when you it has that same mechanic that you have in the Age of Empires game, where you build up to the next era, like you build the right buildings, and you can then move up to the next era. Every time you do that, you can choose a new like patron god, which will bless you with a power you can use, like maybe a lightning strike, or some of the gods let you like produce food really quickly, or there's one that lets you like raise this thing that surrounds it with animals that will come from the wilderness, and then you can kill them and eat them. So some of the powers are more like you can heal everybody in this area, which can be really super useful if you're like attacking a base and all your guys are starting to like get close to death, and then just heal them and instantly they're all like full health again. Or like holy armor that you can give them so that they don't die as quickly. That stuff is all super cool. But every time you age up, you get to choose a god who gives you one of those powers. And they also give you like a special unit that you can raise.
Okay.
And some of the units are super cool. My favorite is the Hydra so far. The Hydra is cool because when you recruit it, it has one head. And as it does damage to the enemy, it gets more heads.
Oh, that's cool.
So like you'll get to a point where you're like, you look over and your Hydra's got like six heads. You're like, oh, you've done some work.
And can you control the Hydra just like any other
unit? Oh, yeah, just like any other unit.
That's neat.
So the units are super cool. One of my favorite things is like the mythological units, especially the Minotaurs, will like walk up to enemy like normal people, infantrymen, just pick them up and throw them. Like throw them into a tree or like toss them around. It's funny to watch. So you recruit your myth units. You can also recruit hero units. The myth units seem kind of strong until they face a hero unit, which like kill them like instantly. So like you'll use them like the mission I just did had, you had three hero units and you're like walking through this map and you run into areas where you're facing like six or seven mythological units and they just mow them right down. It's just funny to watch.
But like the,
I'm enjoying the game.
Are the hero units like Hercules and
oh yeah, Hercules, yeah. Jason, Charon the Centaur, all those kind of guys that you would expect these.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name. There's a main hero that you use in all your missions who's from Atlantis. I'm waiting for what horrible thing is going to happen to Atlantis. You know it's coming.
Yeah.
I'll report on it later.
Neat. That's cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the only other thing I had on the list here was that we haven't talked about layoffs in a while. So.
Oh no. We love layoffs.
Yeah, love them. Xbox laid off another 650 people. I was going to say 60,000 people, but
that would be most. That would be all of Microsoft.
Yeah, I think that's everybody. I guess like Microsoft just shut down completely. No, they laid off another 650 people. He said it's mostly like administrative and like corporate jobs.
Like they gotta have so many duplicate duplicative roles at this point from all of these studios.
This is also why mergers are always bad. Because, like, how many HR reps do you need? How many, you know, administrative assistants? Like, at some point, it does, like, you are kind of, it sucks. It's a terrible, it's why Devonshire merges. It never goes well for the smaller people.
Right.
And we will get back to that real quick, but Chris said something that I found really fascinating, and I wanted to make sure I get it correct. Because you said, like, Microsoft shuts down shop. But that actually did happen today, not with Microsoft. Is Uniper Interactive? I think everybody resigned.
Yes, the entire staff of Annapurna Interactive, which is a was a subsidiary of Annapurna Pictures, they kind of handled their digital publishing side. I'm trying to think of any games that, I think they did 12 hours or something like that. That took a little while ago. Anyway, they're an indie publisher, and their entire staff walked out today. They all resigned.
And why did they do this?
I think they were trying to negotiate.
Somebody was evil.
Yeah, I think they were trying to negotiate something, and it just kind of wasn't going anywhere.
So the I can't remember the guy's name. It's the guy who owns Oracle or runs Oracle, the billionaire guy there. His daughter, basically, like, he has funded his daughter's passion project of running a movie company with Annapurna that she's in charge of, and these people were trying to negotiate with her for to do something, and so the CEO basically just, like, got everybody to resign, and they're going to go start their own thing elsewhere. Which, I mean, that's all fascinating that the entire staff just picked up and left the entire publisher. But I do think it comes into a little bit of focus because I think it was yesterday or the day before Remedy announced they had just signed Annapurna to make Control 2. It seems that they have signed with Annapurna Pictures. Annapurna is going to fund Control 2 and their end of it is that they get to make movies and TV shows and stuff based on Remedy properties. So this won't affect that, but some weird shit's going on over Annapurna.
And just kind of a full circle, because you mentioned that they had published games before. I'm like, I've seen that logo, I've seen their name recently. They are the ones who published Jock. That's like, okay, I've seen that recently. Yeah. Yes. So...
I think you very recently, like this past week, you were playing one of their games.
Yeah, I was like, I saw it recently. I'm like, okay. So, but yes, sorry, back to Microsoft. But you said that, I'm like, no, that actually happened this week. There was a studio. It was just like, that's it, we're done. We're packing up. Like, I'm sure they probably, I'm hoping that they'll probably, like, since it's the entire studio, they'll probably get, like, rebranded as, like, a more independent
Yeah, it sounds like the CEO, of Annapurna Interactive is just going to start his own thing and take all these people with him. So, I hope that all works out for them. but yeah, back to Microsoft. They laid off 650 people. Phil Spencer said no games or projects are being canceled because of this. I mean, that is something that did happen the last time out. Like, you know, no studios are being shut down. The last round of layoffs they did. But still, like, 650 people now out of the video game industry, just adding to that massive number that had already passed the 2023 number by, like, June, I think. So more sad layoffs. I don't know. You guys have anything else did you see anything else this week?
Yes, I actually do have something real quick. It's not, I mean, I guess it could have been in the What You've Been Playing section. I did end up watching. crossing border and I put my phone. But it was an enjoyable. Enough for what I was going to add. Those you can't get anything enjoyable. And yes, it does not really take this. Like, it takes the spirit of the game. The games are. But it, yeah, it is weird. Like, there's not a ton. Like, they try with weapons, but it's like, oh, this weapon, like, revolves. Like, you know, instead it spins sideways or something, or it how it reels is it flips in. Like, but that wasn't anything great or super. And Claptrap was annoying, which is also true of the games. I guess that is
that's accurate to the games.
Yeah,
goes without saying.
Yeah, but yeah, I think how my friend summed it up, and I think it's accurate because I was about to tell you what happened. I'm like, I don't remember. It's like it's enjoyable in the moment, but it's not something that's going to stick with you. And I know that's not high. I'm not telling you to go out and watch it. I'm just saying that it was a decent time. We only had one drink and brew, I think, which came out a ton, which is anytime they said hunt a vault, and they say vault a lot.
I don't know. They say vault hunter all the time.
You're trying to get into the vault. Oh, you're a vault hunter trying to get into the vault. There's nothing in the vault. We don't know what's in the vault. You're like, yes, it was a lot of drinking. The other thing I will say, and I did not look this up, but I hope it's very, if not, it's very spot on. The guy who does the vending machine at a spot in the movie. If they did not get him in the movie, they got somebody who does a really damn good impression of him. So,
like the guy with the Western accent?
Like the guy, what is it? What can I do for you? And whenever you go to the vending machine, there's always like the voice that talks to you. In any of the Border Ends games, yeah, like he's in the movie. I thought that was again. If it's not him, really great sound. Like, but I'm hoping it was him. I'm sure I can just Google it right now, but I'd rather just go with the voice him. And yeah, there was one or two. My favorite character was the Psycho.
Oh, yeah.
He was a ton of fun. I almost felt that you miscast, but again, you can go with it. If you have friends around or, you know, when it actually comes to a streaming service that you don't have to pay for, grab a couple of drinks, enjoy yourself.
Yeah, I don't think it's the nightmarish train wreck that some people... It's not good, but just go have fun with it. It's fine, or don't watch it. That's also fine. But
it exists in that weird nexus of video game movies. Where, and again, I actually think this is a good movie, but like Tomb Raider. The Tomb Raider, because the other one is like Lara Croft Tomb Raider or something like that. The Tomb Raider movie. 2018.
I think the most recent movie.
I think it's a good movie, but it is kind of mostly forgettable. I think most people forget it exists. Mm-hmm. I would also kind of put the 2021 Mortal Kombat movie in that same boat. Because like the first one is just such a huge shadow. The other one is decent. Like, yes, I think people's problem is legit. Like, it's weird that your main character is somebody. For a world vast with story and characters, that you one create a brand new character for this movie, and two have a movie called Mortal Kombat that doesn't have a tournament. You can't make half the characters who would be in a tournament. So,
yeah, I mean that I agree with you, Earl. That movie is fine. It's just it is forgettable.
yeah, it's perfectly fine. But yeah, you watch, it's like, oh, that was Mortal Kombat. I mean, it's not Mortal Kombat because there's no Mortal Kombat tournament, but they kind of exist in that realm of there's the ones, the early ones, so good they're bad, so bad they're good, I should say. Then there's like the, you know, Resident Evil, I think, has its own little category. And then there's the new resurgence of like actually enjoyable, like Sonic and Mario. And to a lesser extent, I really enjoy Detective Pikachu, but I also feel like Detective Pikachu sometimes get forgotten because it's not necessarily a video game movie in that sense, because you don't think of that as Pokemon.
Correct. Although Detective Pikachu is a game.
It is a game, but again, I think it's because, it, oh, this is the first live-action Pokemon game, and that's not what people would expect.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you found Borderlands at least entertaining.
Yeah.
Do you think it would have worked better as a TV show if they could have let it breathe a little more?
I think so.
I mean, you're clearly not going to get that cast, but
yeah, I also think you would have done it better, because I think part of what really, again, I think part of what makes it kind of suffer is that it takes place in Borderlands, it takes place in Pandora, so there are very Borderlands specific elements, but like so much of it, it's kind of glossed over so quickly. Like there was a part early on in the, you've seen the movie,
yes.
There was a part early on when they show like Skaggs.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend's like, oh, and like then we don't see anything with the Skaggs for the rest of the movie. And I'm like, okay, that would be really great. Like if you had time to like have an episode, like, you know, you could have an episode focus on like getting out to the wasteland for the first time and the dangers that exhibits, and like get in the car at the end of that episode and then having the next episode like be a car chase or something like that. And you can kind of build up different things and introduce the various factions, because again it's the same thing with like the underground psychos where like, they were introduced, they, and then the action segment is all in one. It's a long segment, it's actually pretty, but it's also one of those things where it's like, okay, we're gonna do all of this, and then, and then of course the biggest thing is then you can have everybody else except for you know, actually have powers and abilities too.
Yeah
so I will give them credit for also making the vault very disappointing in the movie.
It was as bad as the game.
Yeah. You know, so sometimes being accurate is not always the best thing. So
it's like the vault sucks in the movie and the game. So all right. Well, Tony, you think you're gonna play Space Marine 2 this week?
We'll see how it goes.
All right. Maybe Space Marine 2. I'll play a little bit more Astrobot. Jeff will have played some Astrobot. Earl, you're going to continue with Dungeons of Hinterberg?
Yeah, I'm going to check. Again, I'm having fun with it. So I will continue checking that out.
And we'll see how it goes. I'm kind of waiting on reviews right now. But if Funko Fusion comes in at a decent enough, if it's not a train wreck, I may get it. That it's by the people who,
I didn't realize,
X Traveler's Tales people.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was the people who made the Echo games.
Yeah, like it's not Traveler's Tales, but it's like a new company that is by the founders of Traveler's Tales, and it's a lot of the same people that helped make Lego Dimensions, okay. Including other Lego games. But
that would make sense.
So I think it could be fun.
I think my game of the year is out. My potential game of the year is out next week, so hopefully I can get that. The Prucky Squire.
Oh yes, I'm looking forward to that too. Is that a is that by chance a Game Pass game?
I don't think so.
Hmm. Anyway, I've been looking forward to that one. That one looks like pretty neat. So.
And I also like how open they were. They were like, it's $40. The game's about like 10 hours. Do with that information what you will. I'm like, yeah, you know what? Go with it. Just be like, yeah, you know the price, you know the time. So
yeah, that's pretty good. $4 an hour. If you want to break it down that way. All right. Well, we'll have looks like a bunch of games next week, and then the week after, I believe, is Zelda. So it's a busy September. But we'll be back next week. And also, sorry for, I totally forgot to put the classic episode up this past week. So there'll be one up on Wednesday. It'll be on. Earl, say goodnight.
Wow. They're eating cats and dogs. How can you sleep with that going on in this world? Good night.
I'm hungry.